Thank you, Brother Grover, and good evening. And I do thank you for your prayers tonight. That's what we'll be on tonight, is prayer. You know, as I was looking over the audience tonight, looking at some sisters in the meeting, it's been such an encouragement to me. From the time I first got up to say anything for the Lord, it's so good to see me again tonight. You know, it's cool tonight. They mind the cold, but they're here tonight. Sure glad to see each one here tonight. We thank you for coming. I'd like for you to turn your Bibles to Psalms 121. Psalms 121. We're talking about prayer tonight. I'm going to read just two verses there. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Go over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew's Gospel. Chapter 7. Just a couple of verses there. Well-known verses. Ask. 7 verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. One more verse. James chapter 1. Book of James chapter 1. Verse 17. James 1, 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I'm sure God will add a blessing to the reading of His precious word. The verses I read tonight is just an introduction to what I want to say tonight. I'll make a short comment and just each one of those verses, which should lead us into the message. The psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. This is a psalm of comfort, consolation, where the psalmist from his own experiences exhorts the godly to an expectation of help from defense from God. That's what this psalm is about. If we were to look to Psalm 120, it would be a psalm of uncertainties. But Psalm 121 is a psalm of certainties. And it says this, my help cometh from the Lord. He's got no doubt of where his help is from. He says, he will not suffer my foot to be moved. He's certain. He shall not slumber. The Lord shall not slumber nor sleep. It's good to know that, isn't it? That he's always listening to our prayers. Says, the Lord is thy keeper. He shall preserve thy going in, thy going out, and thy coming in. Says, he shall preserve thy soul. He's definite, he's certain about all of this. It indeed is a psalm of certainties. But the psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. And we have to say, why lift up your eyes to the hills? That's where the heathen would look. That's where the pagan gods would be. Why lift up your eyes unto the hills? You know, I think the psalmist knew. But he had to know that Jerusalem was on a mountain. Surrounded by mountains. He knew the temple of the Lord was on that mountain. And if the temple of the Lord was on that mountain, he knew the presence of God was there. He says, I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills, where I know he is. And also, I'm sure that psalmist knew that many times God's people had met God on the hills. Take, for instance, in Abraham and Isaac, Mount Moriah. Sure, the psalmist knew how God came in and stopped Abraham from slaying his son. He knew the God of the mountains. Sure, he knew how God appeared to Moses on Mount Horeb and asked him to go down to Egypt and deliver his people in the burning bush. He knew that. And he also knew how the Ten Commandments was given on that same mount, Mount Sinai. He knew the God of the mountains. But the psalmist makes it clear that his help does not come from the hills themselves, but my help comes from the Lord. Beloved, tonight, that's where our help comes from. Nowhere else, from God alone. That's going to lead up to what we want to say. Then I read in Matthew 7 and 8, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And this suggests to us perseverance and frequent prayer. I can't emphasize that too much. Keep asking. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. This is what he's trying to say here. Then James 1:17 says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, only good gifts come from God. In fact, he is the source of every good and perfect gift. God not only gives good and perfect gifts, but look at what it says. Lacking nothing. God gives consistently with liberality. And it says no worldliness, no change. So that's an encouragement to pray, isn't it? But tonight we want to center our thoughts around five simple points. And you might say, when I'm finished, Freddie, it was very elementary. We need it. We need to be reminded of these simple truths. First, we want to just speak briefly. Who may pray? Secondly, how to pray? Third, when to pray? Fourthly, encouragements to pray. And fifthly, answers to prayer. We're only going to have a little bit of time. Just going to mention some of them. Just for an encouragement. Most of it could be to encourage us. Who may pray? You know, in Matthew 11:28, we normally use that for the gospel. And rightly so. The Lord says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I was glad Brother Grover gave out that hymn. Are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Tell it to Jesus. Who may pray? Those who have burdens. Those who are heavy laden. Christian tonight, you're carrying a burden. Are you heavy laden tonight? He says, come. Come, bring them to me. Cast them upon me. Leave them there. But how often we want to bring them and then still take them back. Take them to him. Leave them there. Who may pray? Those who are heavy burdened. What's the result? I'll give you rest. What a guarantee. Come, let them go. Give them to him. And if you're here without Christ, you may come and lose those bad burden of sin. Revelation 22:17 says this. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Let him that heareth come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life. Who may pray? Those who are thirsty may pray. And I can speak to the Christian. We normally use that to the lost as well. But it might be a longing in your heart, a thirst in your heart for some need tonight. He says, come. You can come. And those again who are thirsting for salvation, you can come and have that thirst quenched. Psalmist could say in Psalm 65 and 2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. What a privilege for us, all of us, to be able to come, bring our burdens, our cares, to one who is always listening. One more thought, then we'll leave it. Psalm 86 and 5 says this, For thou, Lord, listen, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto them that call upon thee. Who can pray? How to pray? Who may pray? I'll get it right. Who may pray? Those who want forgiveness. Those who want mercy. That's who can pray. You'll say, well, Freddie, that's a game for the sinner. How many of us today, in some way, in thought or deed, have not sinned? In that noise to do good, and doeth it not, it's sin. Who may pray? Those who need forgiveness. That's simple language. And how often we fail to come and get that forgiveness. He says he's ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy. Because see, God is gracious, isn't he? He's a partner of forgiving God. How to pray? Song of Ecclesiastes 5 and 2, Solomon, that wise man, said this. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Sometimes we're a bit hasty, aren't we? But then this is what it says. Therefore, let thy words be few. Who may pray? Let me suggest those with few words. We could pray those with plenty words. But I say that to say this. We got maybe some people in here tonight who don't pray publicly, some brothers. Let me encourage you. You don't have to pray 5 minutes. You don't have to pray 1 minute. I believe if you would get up and say, Father, thank you for saving me. Lord, thank you for saving my soul. And sit down. God would answer that prayer and honor that prayer as much as anyone who prayed for 10 minutes. And I believe if you would get up tonight, if you would have got up tonight, and the first time you'd ever prayed publicly, and you'd have said, God, save John. God, save Mary. I believe God would honor that prayer as much as any prayer going up there tonight. How to pray? Solomon says, he that hath few words, let him pray. I trust that that would be an encouragement to those who don't pray. But you know, when we consider who God is, supreme, above all, infinitely high above man. When we consider that, I think our words will be few when we talk to him. You know, what we utter before God must come from the heart. I think we'll all agree with that. We must never let our tongue get out of our thoughts. Sometimes we do. And thoughts are words with God. Let me encourage you, sisters. Even quietly there tonight, God knows every thought. And they are words to God. He listened. And he hunted that. Right where you were sitting tonight. We must always be humble. Always serious and reverent. When we're speaking to him. How to pray? With few words. I'm not saying you can't pray with many words. Don't be hasty. With few words. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. How to pray? By faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So how to pray? One must believe that he is, that he does exist, and that he is a rewarder, or he does answer prayer of those who diligently seek him. No amount of good works could take the place of faith, could it? No, it can't. Faith is the only thing that gives God his proper place. It glorifies God. You'll say, why? Why does faith glorify him? Because it proves that we have more confidence in the eyes of God than our own eyes. I read this poem as I was going through this message. I come across it. Listen, it speaks volumes. I'd rather walk in the dark with God than walk alone in the light. I'd rather walk by faith with him than to walk alone by sight. Let me repeat it again. I'd rather walk in the dark with God than walk alone in the light. Because if we walk with him in the dark, he is the light. I'd rather walk by faith than to walk alone. I'd rather walk with him by faith than to walk alone by sight. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you might be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How to pray? Confess and pray. Sometimes we want to pray and then later confess. That's not the order. Confess to God first and then to one another. Then pray for one another, it says. You know, if we sin against someone, how good is it to do it promptly and get it right? Note the order. Confession, prayer, then healing. It is vital for the spiritual health, and it is good for the physical health. How many a person, by not confessing, it's destroyed their life. Holding a grudge or keeping something in. It is destroyed. Confess. Pray. And then the healing. Listen, it says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Someone has paraphrased it like this. A prayer of a man whose heart is right with God does wonders. And it does. It does. I like this one the best of all. Matthew 26:39. The Lord is in the Garden of Gethsemane. His on his face. He's praying to the Father. And he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And then he said this. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. How to pray? Not my will, Lord, but thy will. Not what I want, Lord, but what you want. Friends, I can't tell you anything better, a better way to pray than that. And if we pray like that, we'll get prayers answered. Not what I want, but Lord, what you want. That simple language came from the best example, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how to pray. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. Oh, it's my time. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. How to pray? With supplication and thanksgiving. Be careful for nothing, he says. Stop being anxious. Don't have a habit of worrying. Instead, take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, we could do that more often. But supplication, it means entreating, earnest pleading for personal needs. That's what it means. Entreating. And it also means to be definite. And to be detailed with it. So often we say, Lord, save the world. But the Lord wants us to be definite. Save Peter. Save Mary. Save John. And same way with the sin in our life. How he wants us to be definite with it. Call it out. Lord, I've done that today and call this sin. Lord, forgive me for that. I've wronged you. That's the way to pray. Says with thanksgiving. That should always accompany every prayer, shouldn't it? Every petition. Someone has said this. We should be anxious for nothing. Listen. Prayerful for everything. And thankful for anything. And that smote me down to the ground today. Lord, thankful for anything. And I know most of us are fishermen. I said, Lord, I go out there and I come home with 10 pounds of crawfish. Be thankful for anything. Yes, be thankful I brought you home in full health and strength. Be thankful for anything that is good. Oh, may God help us to do that. Anxious for nothing. Prayerful for everything, thankful for anything. And you know the results? The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. That's the result if we could pray like that. How to pray? John 14:14 says, if we ask anything in my name, I will do it. How to pray? In His name. In His name. The name of the Lord Jesus. Effective prayer is this, in His name. Prayer that is in agreement with Christ. You know, the closer we are to Him, the more our desires will be like His. And we'll know how to ask in His name. Thirdly, when to pray. The psalmist says, evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. When to pray? Frequently. Every day. I was reminded of Daniel. 3 times a day. And Daniel knew his life was in jeopardy. That spoke to me again today. The government of this Bahamas encourages us to pray. And how often I fail to pray. You know, as I thought of that, I thought of 3 meals a day feeds the body. How much more 3 prayers a day to feed the soul? Shouldn't be any less, should it? It should never be any less. went to pray frequently. Isaiah 26:9 says, with my soul I have desired thee in the night. Went to pray at night. The darkest hour. When you're going through the darkest trial, beloved. And many know what that is. And many know it's difficult to pray then, but he says, pray. Pray when you're going through the dark hour. Beloved, we can pray then. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Again, went to pray. Always. Continually. We should give constant attention to prayer. We should be persistent in prayer. And you know the way to be joyful always is to pray continually. The verse before that says, rejoice evermore. Then it says, pray without ceasing. You want to rejoice? Continue to pray. You know, the meaning is not that men should pray, do nothing but pray, but that nothing else we do should end the prayer. That's what it says. So many times the things that we do in the prayer. You know, prayer will keep everything we do. Prayer will help everything we do that is good. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. When to pray? In the day of trouble. You know, sometimes we get in a jam, and we do everything but pray. Psalmist says, pray when you're in trouble. That's not the only time to pray, but we can pray when we're in that tight jam. Fourthly, encouragements to pray. Psalm 145:18 says this, the Lord is nigh unto all that call upon him in truth. What an encouragement to pray. The Lord is nigh to thee. Sometimes we pray as if the Lord's so far away. The prayers might never reach him. He is nigh, right beside you. That should encourage us to pray tonight. Right beside us. What an encouragement to pray. And he says, he will answer all those who call upon him. That should encourage us to pray. Romans 10:12 says this, for there is no difference, I like this, between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all. Romans 3:23 says there's no difference between Jew and Gentile as far as needing salvation, because all are sinners. But here is saying there is no distinction as far as availability, because he says the same Lord is rich unto all. The poorest person has the same privilege of the wealthiest person in the world to come and pray. The one who might have little or no education has got the same privilege as the most educated person in the world. The same Lord is rich, whose overall is rich unto all. Encouragement to pray. Matthew 18:19 says this, and again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father in heaven. You might say, well, I've agreed with two people and it just didn't happen. I prayed for something, 12 hours I prayed earnestly, and it didn't happen. And I think what it's saying is this, where we will pray in conformity to his will. Isn't that what John says? 1 John 5. If we ask anything according to his will, he will do it. And then in James it says, in faith, ask in faith, not wavering. And then it says, in sincerity, with a true heart. If that's the way we pray, anything that to ask, it will be done. My time is almost gone. One more point on that, an encouragement, and we'll soon be finished. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost, all that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What an encouragement to pray that he is able. Whatever we come for, he is able. And that he ever intercedes for us. That should encourage us to pray. Not one time we come that he's not going to be there. Not one thing we ask for that he cannot do. It should encourage us to pray. Answered prayers, we'll just use two and we'll be finished. Exodus 17:4-6. Moses is in a dilemma. So he cried unto the Lord and said, what shall I do unto this people? They be ready to stone me. They're about ready to kill him. And Moses cries unto the Lord. Look how the Lord answered his prayer. Smite the rock. And not only thousands drank, over 1 million people drank of that water, and Moses' life was spared. Answers to prayer. How many people can testify here tonight how God has answered their prayer in a definite way? You know when he answered prayer, he should encourage you to pray. This last one and we close. James 5:17-18. This is what it says. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Listen. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3.5 years. And then it says he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain. And the earth brought forth fruit. And the verse before said this, we read it already, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You might say, Brother Freddy, how much? Enough that it shut up the heavens for 3.5 years. Or you might say, well, he was a prophet. He's not an average man like me. What does the scripture say about him? A man of such passion as we are. No different. He fled from Jezebel immediately after the fire was sent down in Mount Carmel. And it says, he prayed earnestly. You see, his greatness did not lie on special gifts. But he was distinguished by the way he prayed. That makes a difference. And he prayed again. You know, prayer is communicated with God. And genuine communication results in visible response. Oftentimes, doesn't our public prayers are not effective because we pray to tickle men's ears. Oh, maybe pray earnestly to God. I say as I close, pray, pray, pray. It is so important to pray. And if ever a land needed prayer, it's tonight. We see so many people not eating God's voice speaking to them. Our island has been spoken to like never before. And I said to someone today, I don't know what God might do to touch it that would bring man to the knees. You know, he could touch our livelihood, that crawfish out there tonight. And this island would be a slum in 1 year. I don't know. I pray God would never do that. But I don't know what God will do to get our attention. But let's pray that men and women would be saved and God would be merciful and spare us. Let's pray. Father, truly we've been reminded tonight how important it is to pray. And we've been reminded how to pray. And oh Lord, ever keep that before us. Not what I want, Lord, but what you want. Father, we realize if we pray that way, our prayers will be answered always. We thank you, Lord, for each one that has come out tonight. We realize it's many different needs in our gathering here tonight. And Father, we pray that those needs might have already been met. Those needs that haven't been met, you may be pleased to meet them. Those who have heavy burdens, Lord, help them to cast them upon you, knowing that you do care. We thank you again for the Lord Jesus who has made salvation possible to all who could receive it. We pray now you'll part us with your blessing, thanking you for this time together. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus we pray. Amen. We thank you so much for listening. Lord willing, we'll be at Topham Bay on Sunday. We do appreciate your prayers as we go. Trust that the Lord will use the word there for his son and for his glory. Thank you.